In the history of humanity, there have been many games, but only one can claim the title of the greatest of all. That game is hockey! Welcome to the ultimate celebration of that game, the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am your host, John Madden, and every week we will bring you the definitive word on this most sacred, most awesome, most electric of all human endeavors. Now, it's face-off time! Welcome to the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am your host, John Madden. This week, the playoffs begin. Well, all the slots have been decided. The season's at an end. The recap is as standing. In the West, the Kings will play Vancouver in the first round. San Jose versus the Blues. Chicago versus Phoenix, the first ever division title. Detroit versus Nashville in what is sure to be the knockdown, drag-out first-round battle to watch. In the East, Ottawa versus the Rangers. I got to say, go Senators, because the hell with the Rangers. And my grandfather was born in Ottawa and right on Senators. I can't believe you made it this far, but Danny Alfredson, good job leading the boys. Jason Spezza, Eric Carlson, you're sick. Washington versus Boston. Last year's champion meets this year's barely made it. And the New Jersey Devils versus Florida, also a first-time division winner. And the battle, the Beast of the East, first round one to watch, in my opinion, Philadelphia versus Pittsburgh. This is going to be a brawl. They have openly said they hate each other. It's no secret that they really do hate each other. Sidney Crosby is back after a year vacation with a head injury, courtesy of the Capitals. This is going to be a one to watch. This, yeah, for me, the first round in the East is all about Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Now, whether Malkin, Neal, and Crosby can get past, well, admittedly, an erratic Philadelphia squad, that's anybody's guess. On the other hand, we're going to talk about this more in games coming up. With that being said, on to our next segment. Welcome. Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. We'll be right back. Well, folks, it's time again for our guest here on Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. This week, it's somebody who knows something about something and is going to tell us all about that thing that they know something about. Welcome, Mr. John Maravich. Our guest for this week's Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast is one shark fan loving John Maravich, and we brought him on as our premier guest in the actual, now that the season is settled. So what do you know about hockey, and why are you here?
Well, first, I just want to say it's good to be here. And second, I work in the television production side of sports, and I've been a Sharks fan ever since I was in kindergarten, and my kindergarten aide turned me on to the team. But I've really been a hockey fan in general since high school and college, and just catching up with the Sharks. And I actually did my first hockey fantasy league this year, and so
how'd you do?
I went into the playoffs in the third seed due to some ridiculously poor goaltending.
Who was your goalie? Who was your net?
Well, for most of the year, I've been relying on Vokoun, which, yeah. my offense was amazing.
Not a bad pick.
My offense was amazing all year long, but Vokoun and Mike Smith, I picked up off the waiver wire, was really good for me. But due to a whole slew of injuries at the end of the season, I ended up in sixth. I had Mike Smith going three times my final week of the season, and that was it.
Wow.
Like, between Vokoun, Smith, and I forget who the third guy on my bench was, but he was injured too.
Wow.
And it's just, I couldn't hang with everybody else.
Well, I don't know too much about fantasy hockey, so I just know hockey. But,
yeah.
But, you know, you tell me Vokoun. It's a very promising pick. It wasn't a bad choice.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know.
I guess if fantasy is just you make your own, like, whatever guys, you know, in your dream team. Come
yeah.
up with your dream team.
Yeah. I mean, it's a draft system, so.
So you don't always get who you want?
No, I mean, it's you get one pick around.
Can
and
you just be like, I'll take the Red Wings? And that's cool.
Actually, that was half my team this year. I had Zetterberg.
So you're a Sharks fan, but you do have a functioning brain.
Actually, in all fantasy sports that I play, I avoid the local teams because.
Really? Why?
Yeah. I don't want to root for them and to be like dependent on them at the same time. Like even with fantasy football, I don't want to draft many Niners players. Like with baseball, I try and avoid the Giants and A's just because like I don't want to be sitting there depending on my team. And if they break my heart, they break my team too. So
I really need some WD-40 for my chair. Some crazy, crazy squeaks. So you've been a hockey fan for a good long while now.
Yeah.
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 So what is your favorite aspect of the game? Are you, what is it about hockey that you love?
Oh, man. It's just so fast. Like, they go so blisteringly fast. Like, I'm a big football fan, too, but I read a statistic that said if you take how long they play in a football game based on how
How many minutes on the field each guy
is like
on, out
12
of the 65
minutes.
Players that are
yeah.
on the team?
12 minutes of actual play during the time, whereas this hockey, it's always going. And the same guys might not be on the ice the whole time.
No, but there's only 22 to choose
sure.
from, and there's like 60 guys on a football team, and, mm-hmm. you know, the kicker comes out, kicks for 30 seconds.
Those guys, they're just amazing athletes, and watching them go to work, and it's unlike any sport that I know where the guys just grind against one another and it's a full contact sport. You know?
Yeah.
That's the thing that I love to watch.
Yeah. I'm with all of that. I agree with everything you just said. It's like compare it to in minute for minute comparison to any athlete in any other sport. And it's laughable.
Yeah.
Laughable. Mm-hmm. And football. It's what, if you're the best team in the NFL, you show up for work 16 days a year.
Yeah.
If you're the worst hockey player on the worst team, you show up 82 days a
mm-hmm.
year. And you've got 3 times greater chance to be on the ice than anybody on any football team.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, there's just no comparison. I know football's the American sport and Canadian sport is hockey, but as far as work ethic, there's just no comparison.
Yeah.
You know? And they get paid way less
yeah.
to put up with way more. And, to, you know, was it 2 years ago? The guy from Montreal caught a stick in the mouth and lost the front four on his uppers. And they just, like, snipped the nerves on the bench and sent him back in for the third.
I mean,
that would never happen in any other sport. They'd be like, oh, coach, I hurt my pinky. I need a $6.
No,
oh, I gotta be
it's amazing when these guys just, like, lay themselves out in front of the puck.
Blocking shots. Crazy.
Yeah. I'm just like, I look at that. I'm like, man, I could not do that in a million years. You know, I like my teeth.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. One of the greatest of all goalies, the guy who invented the poke check for goalies, Glenn Hall. He's, you know, this is back in the days when goalies didn't even wear helmets. And he said he had a patented move where he would dive head first at the skates of the forward that was coming down the ice at him and take him right in the face, like shot after shot after shot. And his philosophy, he said, well, I figured I was going to lose all my teeth anyway, so the sooner I lost them, the less time I'd have to worry about them.
Yeah.
He's like, just get it out of the way. And he'd dive head first onto the ice with the stick out, and he, you know, and they wouldn't want to run into him.
Yeah.
So that stick would catch would poke check more often than not. So, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
But it's also the highest level of commitment of any sport. Or any
absolutely.
In any sport.
Absolutely. And the playoffs are the toughest playoffs in all of sports. And, like, the season might not be as long as, like, say, baseball. But, like, the pitchers don't go every day in baseball.
Right.
And, I mean, even with baseball, like, the guys are standing around half the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
you've spitting and scratching.
Yeah.
And,
you've still got to be an amazing athlete to just drop everything in what you're doing and be able to react as quick as they do.
Yeah.
But it's just for the amount of grind these guys go through, hockey's on the money, just hands over fist always.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely got nothing against baseball or baseball players. And I think that, yeah, there are some amazing athletes there. I mean,
absolutely.
To throw a ball over 100 miles an hour is pretty, pretty serious.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's like comparing a game of tennis to an artillery battle.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not, it's just not a fair comparison in any way. You know, that Buster Posey, that terrible impact that he got that snapped his leg, which was awful and broke every one of us Giants fans' hearts. I don't know, are you Giants or are you A's?
I'm a Giants fan.
I'm Giants too. Yeah, absolutely. Go Giants.
Mm.
But you know, that's just any normal given day of work in the NHL.
Yeah.
But admittedly, they also have the pads and stuff. They have the gear to protect them to some extent, which brings me to another thing. What do you think about the increase of body armor usage, especially rigid shoulder pads in the NHL, relating to more head-to-shoulder impacts and concussions? Do you think if they took the pads down a bit, they wouldn't be so quick to throw the shoulder because it would hurt them as much as it would hurt the other guy?
I actually don't think so. I think that like as the game gets older, these players get bigger and faster, and they're going to just keep throwing the shoulders. Like, there's going to be one guy on every team that does it, and that these athletic freaks that are just going to keep doing it. So I think as much protection as possible is probably preferable.
I would go the other direction. I'd say the pads allow them to hit guys in the head and get away with it, whereas in the old days of caps, you hit a guy with your shoulder, you'd probably destroy your shoulder. And if you didn't do it the first time, the third or fourth time you did it, you would destroy your shoulder. Because they, you know, in the older hockey, you can see they just don't do it that way.
Yeah.
They still smear guys.
Yeah.
Oh, they're still, you know, you're still trying to kill the other guy, mm-hmm. but you're not doing it with the shoulder to head. You're, like, taking them in the hip. You're taking them in the side. You're hitting them from behind. You know, you're doing other ways to take them out. And I think, I don't know, I think I'm with Don Cherry on that. Reduce the armor, and you're going to reduce the use of the armor as a weapon. I think, you know,
I don't know. I just think that with, like, technology getting better, I feel like the pads will get just as protective but smaller. I know that Michael Vick was wearing a Kevlar padded helmet this year to protect him from concussions, and it seemed to work out. So, I don't know. I feel like the pads can get smaller but better protective, I guess. And
more efficient.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think you could, you know, I think NHL helmets continue to evolve because, I mean,
absolutely.
You look at what Gretzky wore,
yeah.
and it's like a bowl
yeah.
with some foam in it, you know. But at that point in the game, they didn't want to wear helmets at all.
No.
You know, even as late as 97, you still had Craig McTavish running around with no helmet at all.
Yeah.
Because, and I do like the way they grandfathered that in. Like, if you had grown up not playing with a helmet, you didn't have to if you didn't want to.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to do the same thing with the visors, too. Because a lot of the, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Don Cherry got in all kinds of trouble for saying, oh, European players are the ones who wear the visors, you know, and they suspended him, and then they found out he was right.
Yeah.
And they had to put him back on the air. He's like, yeah, actually, it is the Europeans who wear the visors. I'm a big fan of the visors, but I remember Yzerman catching a puck in the eye socket, you know, and that was one of the scariest things I ever saw in the NHL. I mean, that and, of course, was it Pavlik? Who was it? The Buffalo goalie who got his throat sliced. Which brought about the plastic hanging neck
yeah.
guards. Like, that was just...
Uh-huh.
If he'd have been in the other end of the ice, he would have died.
Mm-hmm.
As it was, he was back on the ice 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
2 weeks, he was out with a sliced throat, arterial bleeding, back in 2 weeks. And you hear about some NBA player, I sprained my pinky, coach, and you're out for 15 games.
That's the other thing I love about hockey, and that's cool about this sport, opposed to all the other ones, is that... We as fans don't find out about the injuries until the end of the season and the
yeah.
end of the actual like playoff season. And you just see how just beat up they are. Like, I know you're not the biggest Joe Thornton fan, but
no.
him playing that last game last year with a separated shoulder and still giving and taking hits. Like, you could tell he was a little more ginger, but
basic expectation.
Absolutely.
Of the game. That's
and
a
he,
basic expectation.
And he didn't complain about it or nothing.
Yeah.
He, you
no,
know,
you better not.
Yeah.
You better not complain. But you want to complain about it? Go play golf.
Yeah.
And then have fun with the basketball.
But there was no doubt with him whether he was going to be there for that game or not. It's
no.
just like, and it's typical of like hockey players, the league wide,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
Yzerman used to say, if you're not playing in pain by the time the playoffs come around, you
no.
haven't been playing.
Yeah.
You know, and
absolutely.
He was like, had horrible knee problems, just like Bobby Orr for a long time, not to mention the puck in the eye socket, which was just, you know, and the thing was, after he caught, like, it was about a 90-mile-an-hour slap shot, and he took it right in the eye socket, and it broke a whole bunch of bones in his eye. He hit the eye, it dropped him instantly, and he got up instantly, and made 4 or 5 skates before he went down again, and didn't get up again. I mean, just instantly bounced right back up, and
yeah.
then, of course...
Yeah,
that was too much for any man to take. I mean, he was down. But I remember Mario Lemieux played 3 games with a broken back. He just put a huge back brace in, and we didn't know about it, but his spine was broken. And he just kept playing. Like,
that,
he just braced me up and strapped me on, and I'm going to go out there and do it.
That's, like, the craziest and most impressive thing for, like, a human being. To
gladiators.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, total
insane.
Gladiators.
No, I feel you. But the visor thing, I feel like it should be player preference. Like, I feel like they need to make them wear helmets, but...
Yeah, helmets is a no-brainer. Yeah, well, but, it's a brain keeper.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But for visors and cages and stuff, it should be up to the player and up to the medical staff. Like, I know that Chloe took... It's like a puck in the face, yeah, or a stick in the face this
season.
That
was amazing. I saw that game. Yeah. He took one hard, and I was very impressed. He's a newfie. Tough as a coffin nail.
Yeah.
I got to give it. I like Ryan Chloe a lot. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that shit from the bench, but, you know, in general, that's a one-off. That's an exception.
Yeah.
The guy has been all salt and mustard all the way through, and he should be the captain of the team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean... I'm okay with Thornton being the captain, especially because one of the big criticisms that I've heard of the Sharks over the years is that they're not tough and not gritty enough.
I don't think that. I think they're plenty tough enough. I think you just got a diva douchebag as your captain. And he's a sleazy weasel, and he sets a shitty example, and he doesn't really lead his guys well.
Well, I think
when he does bad, the rest of the team does bad. That should not be the case.
I think those criticisms were they had sort of a kernel of truth to them in that they relied on finesse players a lot over the years, and that. The last couple years, bringing in guys
Hanzus.
Yeah, Hanzus.
Yeah.
And
Vlasic
is,
sure.
Yeah.
He's all grit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you gave up Ian White, but I'm glad you did. Thank you.
I don't know why we gave up Ian White either. Especially when I saw you guys sign him, I was like, obvious mistake. And
he's
to get Colin White in this place, like, can we please free Jim Vandermeer from the bench and just give him that spot? To my earlier point, like, Thornton, when he looked at his team and heard that criticism, just sort of took that grit upon himself, said, you know what, I'm going to be the captain, and I'm going to set the tone for this team, and, like, I might have to play somewhat dirty from...
Oh, ever the apologist.
You're going to take that
right
as an understatement. But if he does that, he's going to set the tone for that team and just say, you know, I'm going to go out there, 82 games, and I'm going to just leave everything I have out there. The whole time, like, he doesn't mind dropping the gloves. That fight against Doughty was a little one-sided, but you know,
yeah.
But it sets an example for the rest of the team where no one can say that about them anymore. Is that they're not tough enough?
And I agree that a captain has to set the example. That's why Yzerman is the greatest captain the NHL has ever had, with the possible exception of Mark Messier. He's the only guy you can make a case for as being a better captain than Yzerman. But the point
he's
is,
a pretty good GM like these days.
Oh,
well.
Well, he learned from Kenny Holland, and you know, he learned from the best long-term organization in the history of the game for sure. I mean, you want players to continue a tradition? Make all those players who set that tradition your scouts.
Yep.
Make Maltby your scout. Make Draper your scout. Make Ozzie your scout. Like, send the guys who are in Hall of Famers or about to be Hall of Famers. Have them go out and find the guys who will carry that grit.
Yeah.
Because it's about what Yzerman always said is it's about the will to compete. Everything else you can teach. But if you don't have the heart and the will to compete in the first place, there's nothing they can do for you. And that's why I think Chloe should be the captain of the Sharks, because he has the will to compete, and I think he sets a better example and is more consistent than Thornton, who seems like he gets moody, and then like five games he's like pouty little bitch on the side, you know, and he doesn't. Chloe is out there blocking shots with his face if he has to every time. I mean, I really like that guy. I would love to have him and Pavelski on the Red Wings, you know, just so I wouldn't have to play against Pavelski anymore. That alone would be a treat. But he sets a better example. He's more consistent, you know. He's more stable. He's more stable. is what I'm trying to say.
Well, he definitely anchors that second line that they've got.
Yeah, he's the heart and soul.
And he's definitely keys off Logan Couture like really well.
Who has all the youthful energy and the youthful enthusiasm, and is going to have a nice long career in the NHL.
I really hope so. Like, he's definitely the future of the Sharks organization. I know that Thornton and Marlowe, I won't be the first to say, are getting a little long in the tooth. Like,
and Boyle.
Yeah,
and Murray.
Boyle is ageless. Like, but. That guy.
So is Lidstrom, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
all,
no, there,
there
comes a point for sure. Yeah.
There is a time when even Chelios retires. Even Yzerman had to retire, you know.
Oh, Chelios never needed to retire.
No, not really.
No.
I love that man.
I still love watching that player on the ice. Like,
those are the days.
Yeah.
Well, you got to keep going through transitions, you know. You can't hold on to anybody too tight, or else you don't go to the playoffs 21 years in a row.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Salary caps, expansions, all of that stuff that damns and dooms and raises up can't be allowed to affect your organization, which starts with your fans, goes right through your GM and your owner, and all the guys on the ice from the ushers to the ice keeper. You know, that's that total organization is what makes dynasties and what makes teams ageless. You know, oh, we lost Eisman. Oh, we lost Probert. Oh, we lost. Well, we got some more guys in the pipeline behind them. We just got to season them up, and then they come out and just keep doing it. What's that, 12 years in a row at over 100 points? That's an NHL record.
yeah. It's
longest home win streak, longest road win streak. Got them all. Most wins ever in a season. Got
I know you
too.
Guys have made the playoffs for as long as the Sharks have been around.
Yep.
Like, I mean, what, 21 years? I feel like the Sharks are 21 years old, too.
It was in 1990, right? Or was it 91 that the Sharks were founded?
I think it was 91.
Oh, it's 91.
I'm not sure.
So, actually, they've gone 1 year longer.
Yeah.
Than Wait. No, that is. That's the entire existence of the Sharks.
Which is why I have so much ire for the Red Wings, you know?
Well, they're the team everybody wants to be, but everybody doesn't want to face.
The Red Wings, for me, are like the Yankees in baseball.
I fucking hate that, because they don't do it with a big-ass budget and a bunch of mafia connections.
That's very
true.
They
don't cheat. They don't have the league fixed. The league hates the Red Wings. Yeah. They have always hated the Red Wings, all the way back to La Ligue Canadienne. You know, we have always been hosed on penalties, on trade. They hate us more than any other American team, because we're the only ones that can match any other Canadian teams, you know?
Yeah.
It goes like this. Canadians, Leafs, Red Wings.
Yeah.
And that's the order of the cup royalty.
And the Canadians and the Leafs for the last, 20 years haven't been doing much neither.
No.
Yeah.
No, the Canadians shot their wad in the middle 80s with that run they had. And
then the
Oilers took over. Then the
Leafs,
the Islanders took over.
Then
the Oilers went over.
They're back-to-back Western Conference Finals in the 90s for the Leafs.
Yeah, they made conference finals, but...
Hey, they still talk about
great
pride.
Well, they don't have
pride.
Much else to talk about, do they? Not since
1967. As a Sharks fan, I hold back-to-back conference finals pretty damn special,
well,
you know?
Well, if you guys ever win a conference final, it will be pretty special.
Oh, man.
Any cup, you got one President's Trophy. And, you know, that's a start. That's one to grow up.
Oh, it hurts so much. We've, out of the 9 games that we've played, we've won 1 for in conference finals, you know. And, hey, it's a new year, and I'm hoping to build on it again this year.
Well, the regular season doesn't mean anything now.
No, absolutely.
Now we're down to real hockey.
Yep.
And number 8 is as much chance to win it as number 1.
Yeah. Although, you know, the Kings.
Yeah.
Wow. Meh.
Hey, I don't know. They came out of nowhere.
Hey, I mean, Jonathan Quick's world-class goalie. Like, I would love to have him instead of Antti Niemi, and I feel bad about throwing Niemi to the Wolves like that. But Quick is head and shoulders.
He is,
I think,
goalie.
At least top 3 best goalies in the league.
Well, let's see. Who would the other two be? Lundqvist and Rinne?
Yeah.
And Jimmy Howard when he's hot.
Yeah,
but
and
he's not.
And Roberto Luongo when he's on a good streak,
yeah,
not a bad
Roberto
streak.
Roberto when he's not having a neurotic fit.
Yeah. I was actually really hoping that the Sharks would hit Vancouver in the first round, because you know Luongo is absolutely going to flub the first round, and they're going to have to bring Schneider in. And you know, there's going to be.
I don't know anything about Luongo flubbing anything. You never know with that guy. He's a crapshoot either way. He could be the Wongo wall that he always is. And the bottom line is, even when he's bad, if you don't get the puck up, you're not getting it past him.
Nah,
there's nothing
true.
Gets past him in the five. Nothing on the ice gets past the Wongo, even when he's like having one of his mental breakdowns.
Yeah.
But you know what?
You got to go top shelf with him.
A goalie who isn't neurotic is never going to be a great goalie. Patrick Waugh used to talk to the goal all game long. He would argue with his goalie. Bernie Parent used to go smack the glass and chop at the fans. And I mean, all the great goalies are insane. They have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, look what they do for a living. You gotta be insane to stand between the pikes and get shot pucks at all the time.
I was actually playing some street hockey recently, and they had me be goalie, and it's the most terrifying thing ever. And we were just playing
this dude just coming at you, just, I'm gonna kill you, man.
We weren't even on roller skates, but we had sticks and balls and goals, and I didn't have any big pads as the goalie. I had a couch cushion shoved up my shirt, but you know,
now that's love of the game.
Yeah,
man. That's love of the game.
It is the most terrifying thing ever.
That's awesome. Well, on that note, let's wrap up this guest segment, and we're gonna get on to the next thing, which is our team profile. We'll be back in a minute.
Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast is unparalleled in its depth and in its insights into the teams of the NHL. This is Team Profile.
I think since we talked about the Red Wings last week, this week, let's go back to January 24th, 2012, when I did a little, had a few things to say about Ottawa. Ottawa, oh Ottawa, how you do rise. Starting the season poorly, then rocketing to the top as some weird chemistry takes over their lines, makes the Senators the opposite parallel to the Sharks. Their last dozen games, they have become very consistent, consistently tough defense. They're in the middle of the league in everything except offense. They are number 8 offense. Their special teams are average but consistent. They gave up a lot of goals early in the season but have settled down. What they have that doesn't show up in stats is leadership in the form of Danny Alfredsson and Jason Spezza. Spezza, a forward I have long coveted for Detroit, a guy with fat skills, scared everyone in pregame tonight by stopping a shot with his eye. He played anyway. That guy has grit. Ottawa has grit. They are scrappy. They chase pucks like dogs on wheel rims, and they work, work, work. The games I've watched of Ottawa have been grinders. They are not huge on power play, number 18 at 17.6%, or penalty killing, number 17 at 81.9%, but so what? They are number 27 on taking penalties and number 10 on giving them. Ottawa, more often than not, gets it done 5-on-5, the old-fashioned way, in regular periods. 27 wins as of this writing and 6 losses in overtime. Ottawa has been up and down all season. Will they hang in the top and make the playoffs? I don't know. They are so average in the grand stats scheme of things, it's anybody's call. I'll say this. Alfredsson is a Viking. Spezza is a joy to watch. Kanapka, Winchester, and Michalik give them some depth up front. And Gonchar and Carlson are on the points means they can put together a top-notch pairing in back at least some of the time. Winchester being on injury right now is not helping him. They're going to be fun to watch come down the back stretch battling the likes of Winnipeg, Toronto, New Jersey, and the Capitals for a seat at the dinner table. Now, as we know, New Jersey and Capitals made it. Winnipeg and Toronto did not. And I guess if you're a Toronto fan, you've come to expect that Toronto will not make the playoffs. Winnipeg, of course, only 1 year, or first year of relocation since moving back from Atlanta, or moving from Atlanta, anyway. And good riddance to bad rubbish. Welcome back. I was really rooting for them to make the playoffs, but they did not. And not by... It was close, but close doesn't count. So, Ottawa, I would really like to see you clean the Rangers' clock in this first round, but that's going to depend a lot on health, and that's going to depend a lot on breaking down the Rangers' defense, because they certainly have gotten that figured out, even in spite of John Tortorella's abrasive wit. It really, I think, hinges on beating Henrik Lundqvist, who is good for at least 20 games that the Rangers have won this year. So, Ottawa, I'd say you've got a Norris Trophy-winning defenseman in the form of Erik Karlsson. I'd say you've got one of the best captains in the league in the form of Alfredsson, a super-talented former, two super-talented forwards in Spezza and Michalik. You're looking good. You need a better goalie. Anderson is competent, but not exceptional. But then again, you never know just how good a goalie is going to be until the playoffs come and the real hockey starts. So that's this week's team profile. Ottawa Senators, go get them. Coming up next week, Magic Number 9 Hockey Podcast is going to examine what will be and what will be. And we're back here on the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. It is games coming up.
I'm so excited for this segment.
Oh, buddy. All right, let's start at the top. LA Kings versus Vancouver. And we're just going to talk general series because who knows what the first game will bring. But LA versus Vancouver. Two great, fantastic, unbelievable goalies.
Yep.
The mutant, satanic, genetic experiment called the Sedins. And then you've got the ex-Philadelphia line of Richards and Carter.
That's right.
Yeah, Richards and Carter back together again, reunited, and it feels so good. So they got a lot going on. I don't know. I was stunned that the Kings gave up Jack Johnson.
I was amazed at that, too.
They traded D for O. I mean, it makes sense to reunite a line, but Jack Johnson is so good.
Yeah, do you have to give up him on that?
Did
on
he,
that
like,
line?
Screw the owner's wife or something to get sent to Columbus? That's, like, purgatory in the NHL. Like, why don't you just go park cars?
Yeah. Although I am, I'll admit, I'm really excited for the Rick Nash watch to start again. Like,
well,
the NHL just went crazy for like 2 weeks when he's like, no, I'm not coming back to Columbus. Just because it was such a switch with him. Like, I mean, I don't blame the guy at all. I would not want to be in Columbus. I would not have waited nearly as long as he did to try and get out.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere in the state of Ohio.
Yeah,
even.
Yeah. But I mean, before he was all about it. It's like, no, you know, we're gonna make this organization successful. And it's like, I wonder like what switched, like what made him finally like wake up and smell the coffee that just Columbus is a stinker of an organization.
Absolute reality check. I mean, they've been to the playoffs once.
I don't know, maybe he won that gold medal with Canada and was like, oh, this is what it feels like to win. It's really nice, you know? Like,
gee, not sucking doesn't suck.
Yeah.
But L.A. versus Vancouver.
Ah, man. See, tough. I was at the Sharks-L.A. Kings game to finish the season off. And, you know, like, L.A.'s got some talent. And that Jonathan Quick, he's like, I already said this show, Jonathan Quick's amazing.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And like, before Anze Kopitar had that, like, mid-season flub, like, he was looking at his own MVP-caliber season.
Yeah, he's like, a deadly, deadly forward, that
yeah.
guy. Don't ever sleep on Kopitar. Mm-mm. That guy is too good.
But I still feel like they don't have enough, like, offense to be able to keep up with.
So you think
Vancouver.
Maybe the Jack Johnson trade to get the Philadelphia Carter Richards line back together was a good trade-off?
I feel like it was a good trade-off because they just absolutely needed to score more goals. But they haven't scored that many more goals. Like, it's been enough to get them in the playoffs again, which is great, but it hasn't been enough to get them avoiding Vancouver in the first round. So
yeah, Vancouver, let's face it, you know, they went to the cup last year. They are no joke, and they have been very quietly in the background of the West, just kicking the crap out of everybody they came across. Like,
yeah.
What was it, 7 games, 8 games in a row there at
Absolutely.
The end of the season? Like, they had a big midseason slump when, I don't know, Luongo wet his pants or something. Who knows
yeah.
what the hell happened? But it looks like Sedin is, you know, Daniel is going to be back. He's palm bonded with his genetic clone.
Yeah.
He's like, he's back. So
the chemistry that those two have is just staggering.
Weird.
Yeah.
Supernatural, like, psychic twin power.
They make so many no-look passes and just, I mean, that's what's killer. And was it Kessler is...
Oh, yeah, Kessel.
Kessel. That's right,
yeah.
Kessel. Kessel is just...
Wait, is it Phil Kessel?
No, it's Ryan Kessler.
It is Kessler.
Kessel's,
yeah, Phil Kessel's
on Toronto.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
Ryan Kessler, I mean...
Oops.
Like,
yeah, they don't... It's not exactly like... Vancouver, I don't know, it's not like they don't have any depth.
No, you know...
They got depth across all four lines.
And even the D is just... Like, it's a good... It's
and
a good, solid team
too.
Together.
Since they got
yeah.
rid of Torres, they're not
uh-huh.
throwing half as many penalties. Jeez, one bad D-man can really screw you up and
Seriously.
Put you on a lot of penalty kills. Yeah, that's why I'm so pissed off at Kyle Quincy, this dumb mook bastard from Colorado. What are you thinking, Kenny? You could have had Jack Johnson.
Colorado had a good season in like mid-season acquisitions, off-season acquisitions. They're looking to put a good team together.
They've been in rebuild for, what, 3 years now?
Yeah. I mean, it's about time to start fielding some good talent.
It takes a lot longer to rebuild a team in hockey than any other sport.
True.
For the same reasons that hockey is so awesome, it's also that much harder. Because you just can't. It's not like, oh, we got a star quarterback. Da 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 da. We're gonna win everything. Oh, we got rid of Alex Jones. We gotta bring some guy and he throws a ball and it's woohoo. You know, because it's just no. You know, nobody's playing 2 minutes a game. Everybody's playing 10-15 minutes a game. You
yeah.
got a weak link in that chain. It's gonna screw up your whole stick. Your whole everything's gonna be trashed out. And you gotta have depth across four lines. And you gotta have three good defensive pairings. And then you better pray you have somebody in the net who can stop pucks. And L.A. does, and Vancouver does. And I don't know if L.A.'s defense is as good as Vancouver's. I tend to lean towards Vancouver. I think the smart money says Vancouver.
I think so, too. I think the Kings could possibly give them a run for their money. Like, if Luongo just, you know, has one of his episodes again, then, you know, it could be L.A. steals one. But with Schneider's backup, like...
Yeah, Schneider is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Like, It's a good problem to have if you're in Vancouver, is to be able, like,
Do we go with all pro guy one or all pro guy two?
Yeah. But if, like, I think LA might give them a run for their money, but I still think that the smart bet is with Vancouver.
Then we are agreed. Vancouver in the first round.
I think Vancouver in six.
Which brings us to San Jose versus St. Louis. Now, we know who you want to win, but who do you think will win?
Look, I read an article today that Pierre LeBrun off ESPN wrote, and he says Sharks in seven.
I think it'll probably be St. Louis in six. Because I think, for my money, St. Louis is the best team probably in the whole NHL right now. And I say that with gritted, pissed-off teeth, but I say that sincerely, that I think St. Louis, since Ken Hitchcock, like, born them again, they have been resurrected. Like, they have always had the pieces. They just, who knew it was just a coach they needed to, like, turn them into the best power play and the best penalty kill and, the most relentless pinching defense. They're too solid. I mean, they are a pain in the Red Wings' ass because we've been fighting them all year in the Central Division. But seriously, they are probably the best pound-for-pound team in the NHL.
Well, the thing about St. Louis is that they have the best goals scored to goals allowed ratio in the NHL. And, like, if you look at the two teams who had the top two goals allowed, goals scored ratio last year, it's Vancouver and Boston.
Yep.
You know, like Stanley Cup matchup right there. So that's going to be the biggest thing about this matchup is, can the Sharks score?
Yeah, can, like, you get past Elliott and Halak?
Yeah.
That's like,
I thought Halak
even worse than Luongo Schneider, because neither one of those guys are inconsistent. At least Luongo gets weird.
Well, I thought Halak was done before this year.
Oh,
like,
no.
I mean, he had
that a little bit of a break.
He had that great run in Montreal. Like, and I mean, when they beat the Capitals, I was stunned and excited because, you know, Washington.
Yeah, hell with Washington. Yeah. Who likes Washington?
But, you know, since then, you know, we hadn't heard word one about him. And then all of a sudden, him and Elliott just, I mean, didn't they have, like, the most shutouts, like, out of all the goalies?
Yeah.
Like, to have both of them on the same team? That's crazy.
Yeah, they're both up for Vezinas.
Yeah, which both is amazing. Like, I do think that Sharks have got way more playoff experience, like, which comes into a factor,
that's
like,
true.
This time of year. Like, the Sharks have, like, won the first round the last two seasons, because before it was, you know, this season we don't talk about against Anaheim.
Swept! Sweep, sweep, sweep.
No.
But then the next two, they made it past Detroit both times in the second round, and then got their asses kicked. But
I mean,
they've been tested
by Detroit.
A little bit better every year, no doubt about it. So it really comes down to St. Louis defense versus San Jose offense.
Yeah.
And with those guys in goal, I got to pick St. Louis. I just think that, I mean, when it comes down to who's between the pipes, you got, Niemi and
Greiss
versus Elliott and Halak. That's a no contest. That's
Elliott
and Halak all the way.
I don't know. Niemi's the only one in that group that's won a cup, though. And when he backstopped
with the Blackhawks in front of him,
hey,
which is very different organization, a very different kind of team.
And I know, and the Blackhawks, like, broke the bank to win the cup that year.
Oh yes, yeah.
I mean,
that's
how the Sharks ended up snagging Niemi. But I feel like, especially in the last third of the season, Niemi has been pretty rock solid. Like, I've watched the team all year, and there's been so many times when I've, like, looked at Niemi and be like, how did you let that soft one in? But this last third of the season, every goal that has been scored against him has been a defensive breakdown or just a really, really good play by the offense. And it's like, well, you can't fault him on that one. It's,
right.
You know, like, you've got to have.
And San Jose still has problems with their defense.
They
that
do.
Is still their weak link. They still put too much work on Boyle and Murray still.
Yeah.
And they ought to put more work on Vlasic. He's the most underrated D-man, I think, in the league. I mean, I think he's got, what, two cups? He got one in Carolina. And,
yeah.
And he's been three cups, isn't it? Well, he's got Carolina. Anyways, he's got a cup, at least one.
Yeah.
And he is very, very, very potent. But yet it's still Boyle and Murray, let's get those guys out there and do it. And when they flub, it's no good. It's no good. So I think, without question, St. Louis has a better defense. They have a better, deeper, stronger
absolutely.
Blue line. No question
absolutely.
About it. And with Ken Hitchcock reinventing their special teams, you've got the two of the best power plays in the league.
But the penalty kill is way better on St. Louis than it is on San Jose.
No, then San Jose is 29th in the league on penalty kill. Like, if they're gonna have any success in the playoffs, they've got to figure that out now.
Yeah, because Thornton and Klo and those guys are gonna be pulling penalties like crazy.
Yo,
they are gonna be drawing tons of penalties with their sleazy shit. And if they knock that off, they wouldn't have that problem. But that's how Joe wants to lead them. So that's gonna have to figure out that penalty kill.
The thing that worries me about this time of year is the Sharks depend so much on their power play.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is the Stanley Cup playoffs.
St. Louis has been playing really clean.
Yeah.
Really? They've been playing very clean.
But I mean, this is the time of the year where the refs put away the whistles. And that's one of the biggest problems I have with this game is that when refs just make the conscious decisions, like, we're not going to call penalties here.
Or is it the old Andy McDonald saying, if they play like men, I'll treat them like men?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's playoff hockey
I mean,
you guys handle your own business.
I have no problem with like the refs calling being like really stingy on their penalties, but I just want it to be consistent, especially with a team that relies on their power play so much as the Sharks do.
Consistency of calls, man. You go to NFL and have all the computerized replay and have it turn into a lawyer sport, or you can keep it a man's sport where shit's settled on the ice between the buzzers. You know, you want to play dirty, you're going to have consequences. And it may not come from the ref. It might come from a stick in the head, but, you know, that's hockey, especially playoff hockey. You're right. They put away the whistles a lot.
They do. And I feel
you depend on your power play and you're not a 5-on-5 hockey team like, say, Boston or, you know, God willing, Detroit. You're gonna hurt bad in the playoffs. If you're counting on help from the league, you're not gonna get a cup. You have to be 5-on-5 strong.
And I feel like the Sharks can go toe to toe at 5-on-5 with anyone in the league.
I think so too.
But their power play is where they're really, really dangerous, and I just feel like the league hurts teams at this time of year with inconsistent penalty calling.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to.
Mickey Redmond says, I've gone to the box a lot of times for stuff I didn't do, but hey, the ref's the ref.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there it is. So, St. Louis, I'm picking in 6. You're saying San Jose in 7.
I'm saying San Jose in 7. I'm going to sound like a fan right now, but.
That's all right. That's totally acceptable here. We're not trying to pretend like we have some fake ass objectivity here. We are who we are, and there it is.
Yeah. But I believe in my guys. I have a feeling that if they take them in 7, it's going to hurt because a 7-game series against these guys is not going to help their chances to win the cup
at all. And certainly not going to make second round easy.
Yeah, but, I mean, you've got to beat these guys to move on. So
the cup lies through St. Louis. Yes. No matter who you are in the West, you have to get past St. Louis for
absolutely.
My money.
Absolutely.
So now it comes to Chicago versus Phoenix. Ooh, Phoenix
has been a
scrappy, crazy underdog, and Chicago's been sort of erratic and dumpy. I don't know. I like the changes Chicago's made with Boland and Smith and some guys who are much more traditional hockey, traditional big Chicago tough guys. Like, that's definitely, they need him a little more starch in their shorts, and they definitely got that. But yet, Phoenix, they got the crazy goalie on fire.
Mike Smith
has just come out of nowhere, and Taves is still out. You know, not that that's really bothered Patrick Kane, who is as deadly as any man on skates on the offense. That guy's...
He's one of the top 10 defensemen in the league. Absolutely.
Did you see the shootout win against Detroit?
No.
Kaner won it?
I didn't.
Oh, my God. He pulled like 4 dekes.
Yeah.
It was like Datsukian. It was. It was that sick. And it was, you know, of course, it was a pisser because we lost. But, man, you can't take anything away from Patrick Kane. He's so good.
No, that team is pretty stacked, but... I mean, they're just the consistency issue with me is just...
Phoenix has a consistency issue, too, though. You know, they've been all at the bottom and then up the top and then at the bottom and then in the middle and
Pacific has just been super competitive this year. Like, nobody
competitive
has...
Competitive in sort of a bad way, not anybody. Nobody got over 100 points. Sort of competitive in a sort of short bus kind of...
Yeah,
no,
I was using
winner.
Competitive as slightly of euphemistic right there. So,
well,
I was being nice,
well
you know?
Played. Yes, let's be nice. In the junior league, it's very competitive.
Yeah. But, I mean, Phoenix has, like, really relied on their goalie. And when their goalie has been, like, lights out, like he has been for most of the season, they've been tough to beat.
Yeah.
And
they're a pain in the ass in the playoffs,
they
too.
They really are.
And they really want to
And,
win.
Like, was it the Wizard is just having an insane season. He hit 1,000 points this year. You know, I'm super excited for him because, You know, the Whitney. Sharks.
Ray Whitney. Uh-huh. Ex-Red Wing.
Ex-Shark.
Cut his teeth in Detroit.
Yeah, the Sharks drafted him, got good in Detroit. Yeah, and then now he's just been insane.
I do love that guy. Yeah. I wish we still had him.
I wish we still had him. You know?
Everybody wants Ray Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not enough to win a cup. One guy does not a team make.
No, but they got Shane Doan, and they got Keith Yandel.
Doan's been really erratic, and he's been drawing crazy penalties.
True.
Crazy.
He had that.
So
he had
it looks
that,
like it'll go to the... That suspension. What is it? Two suspensions this year?
The one on Ben and the one on
Ben, who I they didn't make the playoffs, but for my money,
that guy's gonna
Jamie
be good.
Ben is the second best man in the crease after Thomas Holmstrom in the whole NHL.
That guy's gonna be lights out.
I would love to get him when Homer retires.
I
want to
get him
Homer
out of
retires.
Dallas because I hate Dallas.
I don't know that I like Dallas. I don't know that I hate him.
Although I would take Stefan Robidas off their hands in a minute.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Huh?
Yeah.
He would not be my first choice.
Oh,
that's
absolutely
interesting.
You know, it all comes back to that Sharks Dallas series a couple of years ago, where he was just a monster, and he plays the game with such heart that you know I feel like if not in the skills segment, just the absolute heart and leadership part, he would be insane at.
And there you got to give it to Doan as far as heart and leadership, because he is absolutely all heart, all leadership.
Absolutely.
He's the only Jet left. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to take a momentary break here, and we'll be right back.
Are you on the go? Running from class to class? Starting to get run down? Well, I have just the thing to open your eyes. The new energy food sensation, Monster Nuts! These big balls of nuts have the energy potential and cosmonautic strength of almonds, peanuts, pistachios, and peanuts, and all in two fat balls. So get to the campus bookstore and get some of these nuts. And as a special introductory offer, pick up two balls and a third comes free. Monster Nut! Monster Nut! Monster Nut! Monster Nut! Available wherever students are hungry and wherever you need more nuts. Another fine product from the people at Wishamco Products. Check us out online at www.monsternutsinyourmouth.com. Monster Nuts!
Monster Nuts!
And we're back. Detroit versus Nashville. That's going to be a grinder.
That is going to be
question.
A tough series.
If we're healthy, I think we can take them. We've got the majority of wins in the regular season. Obviously, I'm picking Detroit, and I got to say seven.
It's going to be seven either way. I mean, they're tied in the regular season series with three games apiece.
Yeah. And we're starting in their house, not our house, which has been a huge advantage this year.
Absolutely.
Less so in the last quarter of the season, but this is just too ridiculous. If Jimmy Howard is hot, he's easily the equal of Pekka Rinne.
Yeah.
If he's not, he is not.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
Consistent.
Yeah, Pekka Rinne, he's just an enormous man.
Like
he takes
6'5", right?
Yeah, he takes up so much room in the goal. Like, it's so hard to get any pucks past him.
Kind of makes me sick. I wish we had him. But
and on top of that, their defense is just lights out.
Yeah, bringing in Gostad, and then they brought in Radulov right at the end.
Yeah.
They pulled him, like, after the deadline, the little sneaky,
crazy move.
What it cost him, $1.6 million. But Radulov,
he's
gotten a point in every game.
Absolutely worth it, yeah.
He's gotten a point every game. I didn't know if he was going to be as terrifying as they said, but the real change for me is Hal Gill. Bringing down Hal Gill for Montreal, that guy is 6'5".
Yeah.
Their D is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And with Gostad, Gill, and Radulov, it's like a different Predators team. It's like they waited all season to find out exactly what their weaknesses were. And I mean, I think smart money could go either way on this. Detroit obviously has all the experience that every team in the league wishes
they
had. But at the same time, we've got Noah Helmer, who is our total pit bull, like puck hound, maniac, penalty killing. That guy is so hard.
Yeah.
He's like our Klo. Kind of, you know,
I can see that.
Yeah, he's like just so crazy intense, but we don't have him, and he's got a bad knee, so even if he comes back, he's not going to be at 100%. I mean, Datsyuk is just now starting to get back to Datsyuk, and all he had was a simple little scoping. So, I don't know. Helmer said it was the worst knee he's had so far, so I don't see him coming back for the series, frankly. They're not one.
That's going to hurt.
They're not one to, but at the same time, you know, one guy does not a team make, nor does a team doom.
True.
You know?
But if I had to park anyone in front of Pekka Rinne, it would be Thomas Holmstrom.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, we still got the Demolition Man. He's the best man in the crease there's ever been.
So I feel like that's going to be a key matchup in this series is can Thomas Holmstrom be big enough, which is insane to even ask, but can he be big enough to screen?
Well, he's got over 1,500 games of doing it.
6 foot five Pecorine, like, and get in his way. You know, like, it's going to be something to watch. Like, I would not want to be anywhere near the crease of Nashville. there are some tough characters on either side, and like I don't want to get past this part without mentioning Shea Weber, my favorite defenseman in the league. Like that guy,
more than Lidstrom.
More, I'm sorry, man. Like I feel
Norris,
like
Norris is not enough for you.
No,
never 1 year that he has not gone to the playoffs. They asked him what he thought the other teams who didn't make the playoffs were feeling. And he said, well, I wouldn't really be able to speculate on that because I've never not gone to the playoffs. I don't know what it's like to not go to the playoffs. I wouldn't know.
I mean, Lindstrom has done way more than Weber has. But, I mean, Weber's younger.
Yep.
And he's still
growing.
He's still in his, like, at the beginning of his prime. Like, he's going to be lights out.
And he is their power play.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's seriously their power play. If he doesn't make the shot, if he doesn't make the goal, he sets up the goal with a rebound. His shot is so terrifying. I mean, no question about it. Him and Char are the two fastest shots, hardest shots in the league. And, you know, Suter, he's got pedigree.
Yep.
He's got pedigree. He's no joke. He's young. He's still figuring it out. But he reminds me of like where Cronwall was 5 years ago, you know, when he was just coming out and just starting up. And there's just a lot of natural talent there.
Yeah. And, I mean, both teams have got a lot of pressure on them to win this season. Yeah. Well, I mean, for Nashville, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. They definitely have something to prove. We don't really have anything to prove. We just have to, you know, our only goal is always the Stanley Cup.
Absolutely.
And it has been for 21 years, and it'll be for 20 more.
But,
God
I mean,
willing.
There's so many contracts on the line in Nashville of like that are not expiring this season, but, like, the how are they going to pay all those players next year? Because it's a small market team. Like, I don't know. Like, Nashville has to do well in this round to keep everybody coming back at a discount.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're drawing the Red Wings, so you got to get past them.
Yeah. Well, the cup has always lied through Detroit. Even though this year I'd say it more lies through St. Louis. You can't be in the West and not get through the Detroit Red Wings.
Absolutely.
That's just the way it's always been since time began, for all intents and purposes, your entire lifetime.
Yeah, that's true.
So now we go to the East, Ottawa versus the Rangers. I'm going to go, I don't know, Ottawa's offense, Rangers' defense. Sort of a
classic. I have loved
contest.
Watching Ottawa all season long. Like, they're so much fun. I mean, Milan Mihalik is
yep.
I feel like he was the player that I loved watching the Sharks draft. I loved watching him be on that second line the whole time. And I was so upset when they traded him to grab Danny Heatley. Like, I know you got a give to get, but
you got a give to get,
you know, like I wish that he was still a Shark. Cause he's so good. And he's on that same line as Jason Spezza. Like that team is a ton of fun to watch, but I feel
they're
like
relentless. They're grinders. Yeah. Ottawa is like got a mishmash of different talents in different parts of their line. I don't feel like they have like a solid chemistry on any line, but they have like this weird, just across the board tenacity that they just will not quit. They never give up, and persistence pays off in this sport more than any other. Just sticking to it, never giving up. And I think that really comes from Danny Alfredson.
Yeah.
I think it's the leadership of Alfredson that really keeps Ottawa going, because when he's not there, they're not the same team.
No.
They are not the same team.
No,
he is
absolutely
another example of how much difference a captain can make. And, of course, on the Rangers side, you got Henrik Lundqvist, who is an easy finalist for the Vezina.
Absolutely.
He's probably got him a third of all their games, you can give them to him.
Yeah.
But their defense, they're playing old style, original six, defensive, 5-on-5 hockey, and that is just hard to get through. I mean, they got 107 points, 109 points, right?
No, they've been one of the best teams in the league all year long, like pretty consistently.
Yeah, I don't even understand how they're doing as well as they're doing.
It shocked me.
Did the East just collapse and all of a sudden there's this vacuum that the Rangers are filling?
I know. I
hate the Rangers.
Yeah,
of all the original six, I hate them the most.
Like, if it comes down to like Rangers and Islanders, I'm just going to root for the Islanders.
I'll always root for the Islanders.
Yeah. But
perpetual underdogs.
But, like, Lundqvist is really, really cool. He's been so much fun to watch. And between the two goaltenders, like, he's absolutely far and away better than Anderson is for Ottawa.
Definitely.
So I feel like they win that matchup battle. But I don't like their coach. It's John Tortorella.
Tortorella.
I don't like him.
He's perfect guy for the Rangers.
Oh,
he's
absolutely.
He's exactly the right guy to personify that organization full of jerks, but
and
he got fined $25,000 for talking shit about the Penguins.
Did he?
Yeah, they tapped him. They tapped him hard for talking trap about Crosby.
Hey man, good for
Crosby's
him.
Crosby's got protection from the league. He's the pretty boy front guy. That's that league favoritism again, which we all hate as hockey fans.
I don't know if there's anyone outside of Pittsburgh who likes watching Crosby on the ice, you know.
I mean, I love watching him. I love it when he gets hit. He's a great player.
Yeah,
yeah. I love watching him get smeared on the boards like peanut butter.
He's a great player and he's talented, but he's just
an asshole. There it is. He's an asshole.
But I feel like that one is going to be Rangers in six.
Well, smart money says you're right. Next up, Washington, Boston. Boston.
Boston.
I'm picking Boston.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
I mean, they had such a great cup run last year.
Yeah.
And
Thomas versus Alex Ovechkin. It's bottom line.
Yeah.
Right there. Ovechkin hasn't done shit this year. He's been neurotic. He's been in trouble with his coach. He's been riding the bench. Dale Hunter's system is new. They don't have the seasoning. You know, they barely made it into the playoffs.
Yeah, but I mean, he has come on at the end of this season as a force. I mean, he hasn't been Ovechkin.
Yeah, hasn't been the Ovechkin of 05.
The Ovechtrick.
Yeah, he hasn't been Ovechtrick. And, you know, Boston is a 5-on-5 old school original six grinder team. And
absolutely.
Washington is not. Washington is a flourish of brilliance kind of team. And Boston, I think, will just grind them down to nothing. You know?
Yeah, Boston has got a ton of grit that I feel like Washington just doesn't have. Between like Chara and my favorite player on
their
team, Milan Lucic.
Oh, like, Lucic!
I love Lucic. When he injured Ryan Miller this year, everyone was so mad.
Oh,
and
I was mad about that.
It was a dirty hit, and it was terrible.
You just don't take out a goalie.
No,
it's not acceptable.
But I mean,
he's a talented guy. I like Todd Marchand much better. He reminds me of the Rocket. He reminds me of Richard.
Okay.
He's like built like a keg of beer. He goes about 100 miles an hour, and he will fight anything of motherborn. And he's sort of their Klo. He's sort of their Helmer. He's super fast. The guy's got talent. He can finish a play, and he sure as hell finishes all his checks. So I'm going to go with Boston on that one.
I'll go with Boston. I feel like Boston in six on this one. Ovechkin can win
I'll
a
even
couple
go
games,
Boston
but
in five.
I was sort of thinking it's six or five. I don't know how Washington is going to be able to stand up against them.
Next up, New Jersey Devils versus Florida. That's a tough call. They're both sort of mediocre. Florida has a lot of talent, and they did a lot of moves, and they just won their first division. And the history there, of course, they also have a conference cup back in the day, just in case you wanted to get any attitude, Mr. San Jose. Even Florida has a conference, and you know,
do they have a President's Trophy? Because we all know that's what matters in
the
NHL.
Yeah, that really matters. Being the best in regular season, that doesn't matter. I don't know. The Devils, you got Kovalchuk, and you got Brodeur.
Yeah,
and
never bet against Martin
Brodeur.
I'm sorry. Like, you best goalie. Most winningest goalie of all time. I might even say the best goalie ever, although I'm a big Patrick Waugh fan.
Longer to get the shutout record than it took Terry Sawchuk with no helmet. So there's no comparison. I mean, I'm sorry, but the old hockey before helmets versus the new hockey, it's like comparing Bobby Orr to Nick Lidstrom is not
it's,
fair.
It's hard,
it's
yeah.
It's just
no,
not right.
Like, I don't
you
think
can't
so.
Compare Gordie Howe to Wayne Gretzky, and Gretzky would be the first to admit this, that Gordie Howe is the greatest of all time. Stats notwithstanding.
True.
Gretzky may have had the most natural talent of anybody, but Howe is just – he's Mr. Hockey. There's never going to be anything like them because they don't play it like that anymore. It's just not the same game. So of the modern era – Brodeur is by far the greatest goalie of the modern era.
Absolutely.
He far eclipses people like Patrick Waugh or, you know, any of these new guys, you know, Niemi or Crawford or Vokun or Quick, like Rennie. Like, all these guys are, you know, they're carrying his pads, you know.
I mean, he's been the reason that New Jersey has been so successful these past, like, 10, 15 years, you know.
For sure. And he's probably the reason they're in the playoffs at all.
Yeah.
But Florida, I don't know, they've got some freaky offense.
Florida's good. I like Florida. Their special teams they rely on it a lot, And again, it's the time of year where it's dicey whether the special yeah. teams even comes out.
Right.
So
it's
I'm not
almost a 50-50 shot here.
Yeah. I'm never going to get bet against Martin Brodeur, and they've got a lot of pressure on them to win now with the Zach Parise contract coming up.
Yep.
So I'm going to take – I'll take the Devils in six, maybe seven. But
I'm
going to
go with the
six.
Devils too.
Yeah.
I don't think Florida has the experience. I think the Devils do. And I don't think that –
Florida's a nice story during the season.
Florida's
but
goalie is –
It's the Stanley Cup finals – or Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, they've – they've got to show me a little something more.
Devils have cups, or it doesn't.
Yep.
So I'll go with the Devils, too. I'll say them in six, though. And finally, Philadelphia versus Pittsburgh.
I'm
I want
so
Philadelphia,
excited for this series.
So that's going to be one of the best matchups.
Philly is the only team that like looks at who they're going to be playing in the Stanley Cups and says, I want Pittsburgh. And, you know, like, and I'm totally cool with that.
The Cobra and the Mongoose. Uh-huh. The Mongoose and the Cobra, they are born to hate each other.
Yeah.
What is it Crosby said? You know, the bottom line is we just don't like each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cross-state rivalry.
Really hate each other. They always
have. It's like the Niners and the Raiders.
They're both
in
second
the playoffs.
Six teams.
Like, are you kidding me? Yeah.
They've been at each other's throats since 1967.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going with Philly on this one. I think Philly can take them in six.
I'm going with Philly too.
They've got a mojo.
I'm going with
seven,
though.
They don't have it against anybody else.
Yeah.
But
no.
They do have the mojo against Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. And hey, Ilya Brizgalov, he's got the universe behind him.
He's got the universe.
How can you fight against that? I don't know. I mean, maybe he has to play in the desert, but you know.
Yeah. Well, the universe doesn't exist in the desert. It's just something you look at. It doesn't really help you. Yeah, and of course, Pittsburgh has Malkin and Neal and Crosby, and, you know, I think everybody knows how good both those teams are. I don't think many people realize what kind of a mojo Philadelphia has against Pittsburgh, but
I want to watch every single game of that series. Like, I feel like they're both going to explode against each other and are going to be useless in the – like, whoever the winner is going to be useless in the rest of the finals just because this series is going to be so hard and so hard fought.
Yeah, I really – and Pittsburgh has got to be smarting from losing to Tampa Bay last year. Stevie Y, thank you.
Yep.
And Stammer. Yeah. But, I'll say Philly in six.
I'll say Philly in seven. I think that I want to see this series go seven so bad, you know? So.
Well, that's awesome. I think that's about as much time as we got on this. Thank you, John Maravich, for coming out.
Hey, it's great to be here, John.
Fantastic. Good job there, buddy.
Hey, if this becomes a regular thing, I wouldn't be upset.
We'll be doing it all playoffs.
Wow, hopefully
maybe come back and do another stint.
That would be fun.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And we're going to take a break now.
Dateline, April 23rd, 1950. Today, in an unprecedented display by the captain of the newly minted champions of the NHL, Ted Lindsay, in a shocking move, hoisted the Lord Stanley Cup over his head and skated around the rink. Never before has such breathtaking disrespect been shown to this august and refined sport. Not only did Mr. Lindsay skate around the rink with the cup raised over his head, he then encouraged teammates to do the same. Although the crowd seemed for the most part bemused or happy with Mr. Lindsay's antics, this reporter has to ask, where will this end? Is this the end of dignified sportsmanship? With American soldiers anticipating a possible war on the Korean Peninsula, is this really the time to be debasing noble institutions of our society, such as the presentation of the Stanley Cup? It has been a recent development that the cup is even awarded at the end of the final game, and clearly it is this proximity that allowed the hot-headed Mr. Lindsay to commit the faux pas. It is true that Mr. Lindsay and the Red Wings put on a spectacular display of hockey skill in vanquishing the New York Rangers in a battle that went to seven games, always an exciting event. The Red Wings also were able to best the Rangers without two new standout players, Mr. Gordie Howe, a youngster who has been showing tremendous promise but was injured in the first game of the playoffs, and Mr. Terry Sawchuk, who, although only seeing seven games in the playoffs, made an instant and powerful impression in the nets. I believe we'll be seeing and hearing from these two a lot in the future. It is a fact that at sporting matches, especially important ones like this, passions can run high. The Red Wings are a terrific organization that are making big moves in the NHL, and Mr. Lindsay's claim that he was only holding the cup up so the fans could see it better may be what he believes. But with communism snarling at the door and war clouds brewing in the east, we can't afford to let our standards, our decorum, or our dignity slip. Great job winning the cup, Red Wings. But Mr. Lindsay, let's hope this sort of behavior isn't repeated. Final score of Game 7, Red Wings 4, New York Rangers 3. And that is all we have time for this week. I hope you enjoyed the Magic Number 9 hockey broadcast. When we speak or listen to each other again, when we are together again, the first games of the first round will be done, and we will have a lot more to talk about and hopefully a lot more to listen to. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Face off!